Welcome to Speaking of Travel with Marilyn Ball. Sit back and be carried away to places around the world and right here in our own backyard. No passport required.
Hi, this is Marilyn Ball, and you're listening to Speaking of Travel right here on News Radio 570 WWNC 101.1 FM, The Revolution. Be sure to visit the Speaking of Travel website. That's speakingoftravel.net. And sign up for the Speaking of Travel Travel Club. You're going to receive really great travel tips and information about how you can plan and make your vacations and your travel so fun and exciting. Speaking of Travel is brought to you by the Asheville Regional Airport, Western North Carolina's gateway to and from the world. And you know what? When you fly home, you're home. Appalachian Realty. Are you thinking of changing your scene, maybe going from a farm into West Asheville or someplace, like in a neighborhood? Well, you need to visit AppalachianRealty.com. They can help you out. Chimney Rock at Chimney Rock State Park. They are open. And they are home to one of the most iconic landmarks in Western North Carolina, ChimneyRockPark.com. You'll get all the latest information. And by Private Italy Tours. That's right, Italia. Bueno, 2019 tours are available. Just visit www.private-italy.com. And be sure to visit the Speaking of Travel Facebook page, because you can follow us there and you can click on and go to podcasts from way back, from last week, and from today. So thanks for listening to Speaking of Travel. You know, there are some kindred souls out there who never stop exploring and wondering, who seize the day with both hands, creating unforgettable moments. How often do I hear people say, oh, you know what, I'll travel when I retire, or I'll travel when the kids are grown up, or I'll travel when the house is paid off. I hear this a lot. But you know what happens? We get old and we get stressed out and life happens. And by the time you retire, your kids are grown up, your house is paid off, and you simply can't visit all those places you dreamed about when you were young because you just don't have the energy. So my guest today was born with a traveling bone and he's just got to roam. He's got his boat, wind and waves and the deep blue sea, traveling slow and feeling mighty free. And those are the words of Mike Aiken, a singer, a songwriter, a guitarist whose love for singing and songwriting and sailing has taken him all over the world. He's not waiting. Welcome to the show, Mike. I'm so glad to talk to you today.
Oh, it's great to be here, Marilyn. Good to talk to you again.
Well, thanks. Yeah, we met each other up at Merlefest, and I'll tell you, you were rocking the house up there.
That's a good time, Merlefest is, that's for sure.
So, Mike, yep. You've got years and years on you of sailing and traveling and singing and songwriting. And, you know, I'm just curious, where did all that come from? Were you born on a sailboat? What's your background?
I think a lot of it came from my folks. They traveled a lot. A little bit of background and a little bit of an adventure from spirit. My mom was born in France, a World War II girl. And after the war, in northern France is where she was from. And it wasn't a good time for her family. After the war, she left France alone at 17 and came to the States. And I think she just had a pretty strong will and liked to move. So, when my folks could financially afford it, they traveled a lot. And as a kid, I think at one point by the time I was in third grade, we lived in seven different places. I was in seven different school systems. Moving was a real comfortable thing, and I think I just grew up with it, with a wanderlust.
Wow. So when did you decide that you were going to travel yourself? And, and I'm curious, too, how the playing music, traveling, living on a sailboat, how did that all kind of come together for you?
As a young kid, and it's funny, you were quoting some of Traveling Bones, the story behind that song. As a young kid, like 14, I would run away all the time with my guitar, and I believed that the best guitar players were in Chicago. And I grew up in rural Western New York. So, you know, I just wanted to go. That's always been a dominant thing with me. So at a point like at 16, you know, my mother said, and that's where the title comes from, my mother said, you know, we're not calling the police anymore. We're not going to try to stop you. She goes, son, you were just born with a traveling bone. I understand it, and I'm not going to try to stop that anymore. And so, we, you know, I was just always on the go, you know. Finished school, did that, but hitchhiked all over. Just always, just, there's something new down the road, you know. There's something new at the next turn, at the next horizon. There's something there, and that draws me all the time.
And so you started playing music, it sounds like, as a young boy.
Yeah, music has kept me alive, you know, for a long time. You know, as far as the a little bit of the wanderlust, for the sailing part, there was a part of an elderly man that my dad introduced me to. He was a friend of my father's, but he was older than my dad. He was from Norway. And this gentleman had built a boat. His father was a boat builder. His grandfather was a boat builder. He was in the States. And he had built a boat to sail back to Norway. He ended up getting married, this gentleman, and to an American woman who didn't like boats at all. So he never did that. But I had the opportunity as a kid, like 10 years old, that I could spend a lot of summers with this guy. And we sailed all over the Great Lakes. And, I, you know, looking back, I think that instilled this love of the water and this love of realizing that if you can, you know, if you can own a boat and figure out how to navigate the thing, you know, the world's 80% water. You've got the world at your hand. So I just always, that was something I always wanted to do. And, you know, when it got to a point that I could do that, I worked hard to be able to pull that off. And the lucky part, going back to your question, was I quit working and running bands at a point, and it suggests your whole intro was perfect, because I really looked at some of the stuff I wanted to do and traveling as I did not want to wait till a retirement age. I mean, I've seen too many people by the time they got to that age that couldn't do what their dreams were when they started, you know, for any number of reasons. And for me, you know, we wanted to, and Amy and I, and my wife Amy, we wanted to do some high latitude sailing. We wanted to do some stuff that was going to be pretty physically strenuous. So, you know, I quit bands and we decided to go and do that pretty young and go. But it, as it turned out, it really got me into songwriting more. And it turned out that, you know, that I played and sort of financed it wherever we were. So we lived in Spain for 3 years. I played throughout Europe, which led to a number one record in Europe. It just sort of dovetailed. I'm a lucky guy.
You are a lucky guy, but you've made that luck happen by setting intentions.
That's true. I agree with you there.
Yeah. Yep. So tell us real quick, where can we get online right now and start looking at your website?
That would be MikeAikenMusic.com, and you spell Aiken, A-I-K-E-N.
Well, Mike, we're going to go out to break listening to some of your new album, your Wayward Troubadour, which is really exciting, and I want to talk to you about that when we come back.
Sounds great.
All right. Thanks so much. Mike Aiken, he's a sailing kind of guy.
Nashville skyline, I'm starting from the highway. Call me. You're a long way from heaven, but I call you home. My sky's in Tennessee. I've worked in the country, struggled in the towns. My wife says I live here, but I'm hardly around. Hotel ain't home, but it's damn near one to me. I close my eyes, what I see. I've traveled through the highlands, flown across the plains, so many lonesome cities I can't recall their names. Miles and miles, oh, keep pulling me to that Cumberland River Valley. Every time I see that 615, I know she's calling me. Next thing I know, I'm back on 65, driving my knee to be home.
With 50 flights every day to and from cities like Atlanta, Charlotte, and Chicago, you can fly to hundreds of worldwide destinations with one easy connection. Choose Allegiant, American, Delta, Elite, or United right here from Asheville Regional Airport. And when you fly home, you're home. Asheville Regional Airport. Take the easy way out.
Chimney Rock at Chimney Rock State Park's annual pass holders can look forward to endless adventures. The outcroppings trail to the park's iconic chimney is the ultimate stairmaster. Hike with your kids to Hickory Nut Falls, one of the tallest waterfalls east of the Mississippi, or take the new Skyline Trail to the top of the mountain. Pass holders are treated to exclusive events as well as special deals at the park and area attractions. Upgrade your day ticket to an annual pass during your visit.
People call Asheville home for all different reasons, and they all mean a better quality of living that reflects their very own uniqueness. Whether you're looking for a funky loft in downtown Asheville, an arts and crafts bungalow in a walkable community, or a small farm to create your own artistic legacy, Appalachian Realty Associates will help you find properties as unique as you. Visit them at AppalachianRealty.com or at their welcoming bungalow office on Arlington Street, right near downtown. Appalachian Realty, helping people call Asheville home since 1979.
The gravel crunches under your shoes. Steam rises from a cup of fresh Italian cafe. The light, cool morning air lightly brushes your face. Your villa stands close by. This and so much more awaits you as one of the few lucky travelers to join Private Italy Tours during one of their unique and intimate small group tours. Come home again to Italy with Private Italy Tours. 2019 dates are now available. Visit private-italy.com. Private Italy Tours is a proud sponsor of Speaking of Travel.
Your business trip shouldn't start with a road trip. Hundreds of global destinations are just one connection away, starting at Asheville Regional Airport. Fly Allegiant, American, Delta, Elite, and United. Asheville Regional Airport, your local connection to the world. Visit flyavl.com to plan your next trip.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars.
Mike Aiken, a singer, a songwriter, a guitarist, he has a love for singing and songwriting and sailing, taking him all over the world. Mike, I am so glad to talk to you again after meeting you at Merlefest, and I'll tell you, I've been listening to your new album. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, this is the seventh one, titled Wayward Troubadour. It was released June 8th. And it's taken me about 3 years to put together, between writing and actual recording, production, and all with it. And it really is sort of summed up, you know, what I've been. When I look back at it, you know, I've been sort of chasing the wind in boats or chasing guitars wherever they led me for my life and for my life and livelihood. And I find that from the deck of a small boat, you get a pretty unique perspective of the world. You know, you look at things a little bit differently when you're not, you know, rushing from a job to job, although, you know, I'm on tour a lot and doing that. But from the boat, you just look at things a little different, and that's how it works for me. And then to try to describe that and write some songs about it. Not necessarily that they're sailing songs, but they're just maybe a reflection of who I am and where I've been that comes from it. Sailing gives you, you know, what they say is it's 90% boredom with 10% of sheer terror. And but it gives you, you know, it gives you the time to really be able to reflect a little bit, which to me really helps my songwriting.
So it sounds like you really draw a lot of inspiration from this lifestyle that you've chosen, being on the water and being able to travel from one port to another.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you learn, you know, you learn a lot about yourself and how you handle situations. And I think you learn what's really important to you. And I tried to put some of that into the songs on this one, on Wayward Troubadour. You know, really put some, you know, each song is a little story, a little mini story. And it just gives a view, I guess, of my view of the world, how things strike me. And it works when I go and do live shows. You know, there'll be a lot of times where I can take people. Well, like you saw at Merlefest. You know, I played from, I would take almost a Texas two-step, almost a swing song, and then I'll go the next song and take somebody to Newfoundland and talk about being with whales. I try to take people in a show that they come to see me on a geographical journey of places we've been and sort of let them get away from their life for those 2 hours they're watching us and take them all over the place.
Well, that's what I love about your music. It is like going on a trip around the world and being able to hear, being a storyteller as a musician is really, that doesn't happen with everybody. There are many musicians who sing songs, even songs that they've written, but they're not such storytellers. And I feel that's what you do. And it's a gift that you're giving to us. And when did you first discover that you had this talent for songwriting and storytelling?
That's a tough question. I think for a long time, I've played music to make my living, and you could start to see, you start as anybody who gets into it. You're playing cover tunes, bar bands, all that. And it would be then whose music that I would be drawn to. Let's say, a John Prine. Some reason I'd listen to all this stuff, and John Prine would just come back and back and back, and there'd be like a lot of love. It's another one. You'd get these artists, and once I sort of identified that, probably in my 20s, what drew me? That was the question. Why do I keep going back to these people? And I realized it was what they were saying that was bringing me back. It wasn't so much a melody or a time signature. It was really how they could tell a story. And I found, let's say, a quick example. If you were to write a novel, you have 300-400 pages. You can really, really detail something in writing that way. When you go into a song, you have 3 to 3.5 minutes. And the art of being able to tell a story in a really minimalistic way, but get that feel and color across. I just was fascinated with that art of how do you do it in such a minimal way, but not have it feel that way when somebody listens to it. I was just always intrigued by it. And then from the travel aspect, I think I realized at one point that people like to listen to places and where we've done and adventures, and it just started all coming together.
And you've met people. I mean, that's another part of it, is that I feel that this inspiration is around you, your viewpoint, you looking out on the world and where you go, but also the people that you meet. Talk a little bit about that, the people that you meet all over the world.
It's completely about the people. That you're absolutely right. I mean, the sailboat and long-distance sailing is what I like, but that's the vehicle to get to places that you don't know the people, you don't know a culture, and then you try to figure out how to get immersed in that. For me, that's a real goal. So we'll go to a place, and we absolutely don't go to where the big yacht clubs are. We don't do that. I'll try to find some little fishing village. We'll hunt down a commercial site, even if it's, it might not be the brightest and shiniest, might be a little seedy, but you get very quickly immersed into that local culture, and to me that's fascinating. We had let's say we were anchored off this spot, little fishing village in Spain, and there's a little boatyard, so I go in, and one of my ways to sort of get in is I will, very broken English, will offer to help somebody. I was watching a mechanic work on a boat. I could see this guy's working alone. He's doing big heavy work. It was tough for walking through the boatyard, so one day I just walked in with a bunch of tools and offered to help. And that, so at first he's looking at you like you're crazy, and it takes a couple days to break that, and then you're working for free. But then you're being invited to his house for Sunday dinner, and you're getting immersed in that family and that culture. And that is, to me, there's the payoff. It's not about the work. It's It's getting to see somebody at their level and not assuming you know that level. And that's just such the beauty of travel.
It is. And when you get to that level, you recognize that people are people everywhere you go. There's really
that's
not
sure.
much difference. Talk a little bit about that.
No. Well, you know, the thing you realize quickly, at least for me, is that there's great people everywhere. There's good people. You know, I've run into some bad situations. We keep our eyes open. You know, you can't go out and be absolutely clueless. But I have found, you know, if you want to put in percentages, 99% of the people and situations we run into, and we leave ourselves wide open for situations. It's part of sort of the way Amy and I, you know, go at it purposely. And over and over, I've had people that don't know us from Adam going to some country, they don't know you, and in a half an hour, you dinghy to shore. I've had places where people in half an hour, I've got keys to a car. I don't know these people. And the stores are down here. You know, people that come out and you're staying in somebody's house, you don't know who they are. It's been over and over and over. The people that have gone out of their way to help us out. And I try to give that back when people come in. It's part of being, I think, a small waterfront community also, that there's an acceptance, you know, around. You come in on a sailboat, you're not coming in necessarily on a fast airplane in a fast rental car. You know, you're rowing to shore and meet somewhere, and people just, I don't know. For us, it's been very well that people just, not necessarily help you, but they're willing, they're interested in your culture, you're interested in theirs, you know, you're spending time with their kids. It just, you know, you find you're one of the people of the world, and that's really how I look at it. It's I don't look at things really strictly as borders, you know. I don't expect somebody in another country to, you know, I'm a stranger in their country. So my attitude is I go there, I'm the one that should know their language, or at least attempt, whatever it is. I'm a stranger in their country, and it's my responsibility to go to them and try to be part of them and relate to them on whatever they're doing, whatever their work is, whatever their language is, and the doors just open up. It's great.
Well, Mike, we need to make that the philosophy and the culture across the board, everywhere we go. When we come back from the break, we'll pick up right there. Mike Akin, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, thank you.
Leave ordinary behind with a visit to Chimney Rock at Chimney Rock State Park. Surround yourself with breathtaking views of Lake Lure and the Hickory Nut Gorge while enjoying 6 hiking trails, rock climbing with Fox Mountain Guide instructors, and Animal Discovery Den, unique events, and more. Whether you're new to hiking or a seasoned pro, there's something for everyone at The Rock. To plan your next Chimney Rock adventure, visit ChimneyRockPark.com to see an online trail map and a listing of the park's upcoming events.
Hi, this is Tina Kinsey, and I'm with Asheville Regional Airport, and I've got a travel tip for you today. We are getting a lot of questions about Real ID. What is it? When do you need to have a Real ID when you travel? The Department of Homeland Security is requiring that all domestic air travelers have what's called a Real ID no later than October the 1st, 2020. Or alternative forms of identification will be required before you can board a flight. In North Carolina, the Department of Transportation is offering Real IDs right now, and it's a good idea to go ahead and get this new form of a driver's license as soon as possible, as there will be a mad dash to get Real IDs as the 2020 deadline draws near. It's easy to get your Real ID. Just a few more steps are required when you go to the DMV to get a driver's license. You are going to need to bring very specific documents with you, and you can find that information on North Carolina DOT's website at ncdot.gov. But it only takes a few minutes. And another tip, you can even make an appointment at the DMV so your wait won't be very long. Get that Real ID today, and it'll be smooth flying from there.
Any real estate company's success is a reflection of its attention and care provided to its clients. Appalachian Realty Associates are proven to have the best agents around. And if you're looking for a place in Asheville and Western North Carolina, they'll help you find properties as unique as you are. Visit them at AppalachianRealty.com or at their welcoming bungalow office on Arlington Street near downtown. Appalachian Realty, helping people call Asheville home since 1979.
Whether your trip to Italy reminds you of days past, a honeymoon, or a long-ago backpacking trip, come home again to Italy with Private Italy Tours. Picture your own private villa or four-star hotel, private guides who speak and understand the local culture, and days planned for your ease and comfort. This and so much more awaits you during one of their unique and intimate small group tours. 2019 dates are now available. Visit private-italy.com. Private Italy Tours is a proud sponsor of Speaking of Travel.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars.
Oh, boy, I love this part of Speaking of Travel, where we catch up with my good pal Doc Lawrence on the Gourmet Highway. Today he's in Gainesville, Florida, home of Tom Petty and Bo Diddley. All right, that's cool. Hey, Doc, I know you love to get lost in Florida, so what's going on down there?
Marilyn, this time of year, there's nothing I enjoy more than getting away from it all and kind of getting lost in some of my favorite places in Florida. Here I am in Gainesville, Florida, a college town, a major research center. But Gainesville has a lot in common with original Florida and cracker Florida. And let me emphasize that cracker is not a derogatory term. I could be one easy if I was younger. A cracker Floridian is a cowboy. That's a dirt farmer. And the cracker culture here is distinct. They have their own cuisine. They have their own cattle, their own chickens, their own turkeys. I'm not kidding. And there are many books about them, and there are many movies about them. Think about The Yearling, the great movie based on Marjorie Kenyon Rawlings' book of the same name. And it was based on, yes, Cracker, Florida. This was once the home of the late Bo Diddley, the great rocker, the great blues man, the man that played that space guitar. I got to know Bo in his later years. We got to be friends when I passed through Gainesville. He had a ranch here. He was a cattle rancher. He raised horses, and he went on tours in his later years and still played a bunch of clubs. But Bo was one of those ones that the Rolling Stones, the Beatles, Elvis, anyone would tell you was a tremendous influence on them. And he played a guitar like no one else could. And close your eyes and listen. Get real close to the radio. Can you hear "Who Do You Love"? I can. And that was one of Bo's greatest songs. You know, when he died here in Gainesville, they dedicated a city square to Bo. It's a plaza. And I think it's so good that this is also the hometown of Tom Petty. There was a kinship there, and they changed American rock and roll and the music of the world. Marilyn, there's a lot more here in Gainesville than rock music, though. Payne's Prairie is 22,000 acres of flat land, a state park, where alligators, wild horses, and bison roam freely. There is an elevated platform that you can walk out on because you don't want to be walking down on the level with these critters or something's going to bite you. There are over 200 species of birds that call this home, and it's one of the most amazing sights in all of North America, and it's preserved forever. Downtown Gainesville, Maryland, is awash in museums and art galleries. Gourmet restaurants are side by side with places like the Florida Museum of Natural History. You go into that and you never forget it. It's stunning. It's what you would expect in New York City, and it's just as good. Now let's go visit Cross Creek, a small community just outside of Gainesville, and the home of the legendary author Marjorie Kennan Rawlings, again, the author of The Yearling, and also the author of many other books, including one of my favorites, Cross Creek Cookery. Ms. Rawlings was a worldly woman. She was originally from Wisconsin. She came here to Cross Creek in rural Florida, Cracker, Florida, fell in love with it and began writing. And she had a dinner party one night with friends of hers from England. And she went out and shot some mallards, some ducks. She dressed them, prepared a dinner with wild vegetables close by, and served, you could almost guess it, French wines. That's my kind of gal. Miss Rawlings inspired America to take a closer look at original Florida. She was a conservationist. She loved the land. She loved the wildness of it. And she, among a handful of other people, have preserved what we still have here today. My last stop before leaving is Micanopy. Micanopy is an old Indian town, Seminole Indian town, just outside of Gainesville, and it's the oldest inland town in the state of Florida, which probably makes it the oldest inland town in the United States. This is the headquarters of Cracker culture. There's an architecture that's called Cracker architecture. The homes here are all made in that style, with open porches, open breezeways, a lot of space to rock, to get cool, have something good to drink, and tell stories. Micanopy is noted for its ancient live oaks draped in Spanish moss, and it is so romantic, so ancient, and yet filled with modern Floridians. Well, Marilyn, that's about all I can do right now. I wish I could tell you more, but time's running out, and it's time to say goodbye on the Gourmet Highway for Marilyn Ball. And speaking of travel, this is Doc Lawrence saying I hope to see you soon in your hometown.
Doc, what a wonderful original place. We're going to have to get lost in Gainesville, Florida together sometime. I just have a hunch. Happy travels, Doc. Talk to you next week on the Gourmet Highway. Mike Akin, a singer, songwriter, traveler, troubadour. Mike, tell us a little bit more about Wayward Troubadour. You said that it was just released recently, right?
June 8th.
Yeah.
So that's a very recent. It's the seventh record I've got out. The last one was called Captains and Cowboys, and that was Grammy nominated. And it's just a continuation. I think this particular record is the truest to me. You know, a lot of times when you're recording, you're influenced by, a little bit of you know, you're trying to do this for a livelihood, you know, so you want to make sure you have a record that people are going to like, and, you know, and you record it from that aspect too. And this particular one, Wayward Troubadour, was really, for me, it was just of the heart and just about, not really just about me, but really about my views, you know. And I look at every record I do and go, what if this is the last one? For some reason, you step out of the studio, it's done, you know, and you have a heart attack, you get hit on the highway, whatever, you're drowned, whatever. So I think when I look at it that way, I want to make sure that each one is the best I can possibly do up to that time, and that's how I feel about Wayward Troubadour.
And tell us again your website so people can get online, they can check out your music, check out your videos. Tell us again what it is.
Sure. It is MikeAkinMusic.com, and you spell Akin, A-I-K-E-N. They can also go, I've got a YouTube channel, so it's YouTube Mike Akin. They can go there. I've got a Pandora channel, so they can start up their own Mike Akin radio station and a Spotify channel. You know, I'm all over the place. But they can find all that through my website and just start searching the name.
Well, I'll tell you, we have really been enjoying listening to Wayward Troubadour and putting it in the show so people can start hearing a little bit more of your music. And I'll tell you, you know, going to your channel, just going to YouTube and put in Mike Aiken, and watching you perform, Mike, is just so much fun. I mean, you are, you're a happy guy. I like that about you.
I am a happy guy. You're right. I mean, that to me is something. Life is a precious thing, you know, and for me, you know, the main goal is to be happy and spread that positive feeling around. You know, I mean, every day I get up, I go, I got to be the luckiest guy in the world. You know, I get to play music for a living. I get to live on a boat. You know, I'm a pretty lucky guy.
And today you get to be on Speaking of Travel. It doesn't get much better than
that.
So thank you, Mike Aiken. We'll be back.
Every day, Penelope works in the market, down in the coconut trees. She's saving up all of her money to go to America across the sea. Cause she once had an uncle, he lived in Detroit town. They got all of his postcards, but his body has never been found. She got a job as a domestic, working for the minimum wage. All the friends back home in Jamaica, they say you really got a maid in the shade, but they don't see her sweat and grind and bending on her knees. She wishes she was back in Jamaica beneath the coconut trees. Every day,
The gravel crunches under your shoes. Steam rises from a cup of fresh Italian cafe. The light, cool morning air lightly brushes your face. Your villa stands close by. This and so much more awaits you as one of the few lucky travelers to join Private Italy Tours during one of their unique and intimate small group tours. Come home again to Italy with Private Italy Tours. 2019 dates are now available. Visit private-italy.com. Private Italy Tours is a proud sponsor of Speaking of Travel.
Your business trip shouldn't start with a road trip. Hundreds of global destinations are just one connection away, starting at Asheville Regional Airport. Fly Allegiant, American, Delta, Elite, and United. Asheville Regional Airport, your local connection to the world. Visit flyavl.com to plan your next trip.
Any real estate company's success is a reflection of its attention and care provided to its clients. Appalachian Realty Associates are proven to have the best agents around. And if you're looking for a place in Asheville and Western North Carolina, they'll help you find properties as unique as you are. Visit them at AppalachianRealty.com or at their welcoming bungalow office on Arlington Street near downtown. Appalachian Realty, helping people call Asheville home since 1979.
A visit to Chimney Rock at Chimney Rock State Park. Surround yourself with breathtaking views of Lake Lure and the Hickory Nut Gorge while enjoying 6 hiking trails, rock climbing with Fox Mountain Guide instructors, and Animal Discovery Den, unique events, and more. Whether you're new to hiking or a seasoned pro, there's something for everyone at The Rock. To plan your next Chimney Rock adventure, visit ChimneyRockPark.com to see an online trail map and a listing of the park's upcoming events.
With 50 flights every day to and from cities like Atlanta, Charlotte, and Chicago, you can fly to hundreds of worldwide destinations with one easy connection. Choose Allegiant, American, Delta, Elite, or United right here from Asheville Regional Airport. And when you fly home, you're home. Asheville Regional Airport. Take the easy way out.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars, and let me see what spring is like on a Jupiter and Mars.
Thank you for listening to Speaking of Travel. I'm here today with Mike Akin. His love for singing and songwriting and sailing taken him all over the world. And we just were listening to one of his new songs, Stories, Penelope. Mike, tell us a little bit about that song.
Okay. You know, a lot of my writing is influenced by places that we've traveled and lived, and we based out of Antigua. And so we spent a lot of, for about 3 years, we spent a lot of time sailing the Caribbean chain. And, you know, and one of the things I get from being in foreign places for long periods of time is realizing that, you know, you almost, it's easy to prejudge people based on how you lived in the culture you come from. And it takes some time to let that go away and just understand that other people's methods are as good. They just fit them, and geographically their needs are different, you know, emotionally, the whole thing. So Penelope is a song about a Jamaican woman who makes her livelihood, you know, sort of in the straw market in Jamaica, but always dreams of coming to the States. Comes to the States, actually to Detroit, comes to the States and ends up being, you know, a domestic worker for somebody's home. And now she's in Detroit where it's cold and it's dark and there's no palm trees and there's not beaches. And she's realizing that might not have been her best choice. It looked like it was the great place to be, but maybe it wasn't. And by the end of the song, you know, it goes that Penelope's back in the market. And she realizes that what she had was a beautiful thing. And she leaves and goes back to Jamaica. And to me, that's I just sort of love how that song does a twist of how different cultures can be good in many different ways. You know, that's and you'll hear in that one, that particular song has a little bit of a different feel from the rest. That has definitely a Caribbean vibe to it, and congas and wayru and all sorts of other instruments in it. But one of the things I've loved to do is really try to pick up influence in music from the geographic places that we've been. We sailed to, you know, most people that leave the Great Lakes sailing can't wait to go south. You know, they want to get to where it's warm and beaches. Well, Amy and I, you know, took our boat down the Erie Canal to the Hudson River, Hudson River to the Atlantic, and instead of going south, we went north up to Newfoundland, Cape Breton area. The music scene up there is phenomenal, that you never hear in the States. It's all based on a lot of old Irish stuff, sort of Celtic folk rock. It's great players, just phenomenal. So we spent a year up there, and that type of music influenced, there'll be a video out, a song called Save the Whales. So you start hearing, oh, there's this little Celtic phrase comes into a song that's written with a Texas feel, but you'll hear that in my music. Then when we went to the Azores, I remember one time sitting on the seawall, and there was a Northern European guy, you know, bringing in their folk music. I was playing what I thought they might know, some of mine, but some other, let's just say Neil Young, some of that stuff. And there was a guy from Brazil that was an amazing guitar player. I couldn't touch the style he did. But if I went in and played, you know, three-chord blues, which the States is home of the blues, to me, what is very simple. He couldn't figure out what to do with it. We spent a night just laughing and laughing, and the three of us ended up coming out with this mix of our three styles of music that was, you know, infectious. And then when I sailed away from that island, you know, that's become part of what I write with. You know, it becomes part of my little bag of tools. So I've done that all over. Time in Cuba, you start hearing that come in, and it's one of the beauties of travel. You know, if you are open to it, open to people and cultures, even phrasing, the lucky traveler gets to have that with them the rest of their life, and then they start to influence other people with those tales and their stories of their travel, and it just spreads. You know, people are so great everywhere. It just spreads. To me, it's an infectious thing to be out there on the road.
Well, it is, and it's also, and I've said this many times, I feel this is the connection that we have to world peace. Like, if it's ever going to happen, it's got to happen on this level where people are engaging and connecting and laughing and sharing, and it's, you know, in some ways, Mike, you're the ambassador. You know, you're going out, and you and Amy are, you know, you're you're immersing yourself in these other cultures and you're soaking up all of this wonderful culture and newness and freshness and incorporating that into the stories that you're telling, that's forever. That's like a legacy work.
Well, you know, I really believe you have to, just what you're saying, you have to do that on a one-on-one basis. You have to let people know, you know, you have a lot of other people in the world are very fearful of the United States. And they haven't met people from the States. When you walk in, that is exactly what you are. You are an ambassador for that. You have to let people know, you know, this is who we are, at least this is who I am, and that's where I'm from. And then they start, you know, and if you're the one that takes the risk first by opening yourself up, by trusting, you know, the rewards you get are so much greater than what you put out. You know, then they get relaxed and are with you, and then all of a sudden you're into an adventure somewhere that you could have never gotten overlooking at, I don't know, you know, the side trip off the cruise ship, let's say. You know, that's an organized thing. If you can somehow get to that personal level, the rewards are so good.
Well, Mike, tell us what's, and I love this, what's on the horizon for you?
Oh, with the new record, we are, you know, that puts us into a couple of years of pretty hard work. And so we'll be on the road traveling a lot. You know, we drive around in a bus and fly in the shows. We'll be back touring Europe this fall. Usually we spend a month in Europe, all over. And Europe's a ball because, you know, I usually try to, in those situations, have at the end of a show, people just want to ask you questions. You know, and not deep philosophical questions, but they'll want to ask you, is Route 66 really what I think Route 66 is in the States? You know, places they'll never get to except for maybe meeting, you know, you or me to try to tell them what our culture is. So there's a lot of traveling. And next year, we are just going to be on the go. I can't wait.
So where do you leave your boat when you get on the bus?
We are, the boat's based in Norfolk, Virginia. Here's another little travel story. So from years ago, we were not the boat we're living in now. We had another one, and we had the breakdown cruise of the century coming down the Chesapeake Bay in the winter and brought us into this little sort of funky family-owned marina in Norfolk. We hadn't been back to the same port twice in 10 years, and this place, the people were wonderful. And, you know, completely happenstance. We never planned on stopping in Norfolk. And now that's where our mail goes. And so we met those folks, and they ended up being so close to us that that's the place we trust. You know, and we leave a lot of times around the road during hurricane season. But I trust that family with, you know, with my boat. And it's completely happenstance. So a lot of times in travel, a word to people, don't get upset if things don't go the way you have them planned, because sometimes that's the best. Sometimes that's where you find the biggest adventure, meet somebody you'd have never met, because things go awry, and if you have your mind open to just accepting what comes, boy, there can be some real treats up there.
You know, and wouldn't it be awesome if people, after they have these experiences, like you said, you know, you come back and you share these stories, people go out and they meet, they have these happenstance, or, you know, they've stepped out of their boundary and they suddenly recognize that they had this great adventure. They come back, tell somebody else, and, you know, and that person takes a leap of faith and says, you know what, I'm going to go try this, or I'm going to go do this. And then there's more of this happenstance. Over time, the world does indeed get smaller.
It does. It absolutely does.
So, Mike, tell us
You're
again
right.
where we can get your info and connect with you and listen to your music. We're hot on that.
Okay. You can go to my website is the best place to start, which is MikeAikenMusic.com, and you spell Aiken, A-I-K-E-N. And that's where you'll start. You can go to Pandora, start up a Mike Aiken, you know, radio station of your own, and Spotify and YouTube. I've got a YouTube channel, so you can find me all over that way.
Yeah, so even if you just Google Mike Aiken, A-I-K-E-N, you'll see where you can go to find him. And I am I'm just so thrilled to have you on the show and hear your stories and talk to you about your new record and your your stories, Mike. I'll tell you what, you know, going to Merlefest for me was a pretty big deal, and being able to meet you was even a bigger deal. So I can't thank you enough and wish you just happy travels and look forward to catching up with you later on down the road and seeing where you are.
Oh, we'll keep in touch, and I really appreciate the opportunity. And if I can say, you know, one last thing to your listeners is go. Don't wait. Go.
Well,
you know,
that's
me, it's travel. Go.
It is. Travel.
You don't have to wait to be, you know, if you can do it cheap this year, do it this year. Don't wait to do the most expensive way. Just go. The world's out there for you.
Exactly. And just as I was saying in the beginning of the show, don't wait until, you know, until you retire, the kids are grown up. Mike, thank you so much for being on the show. Listen, you guys, go out and travel, take a trip, go to the park, do something. And remember, don't postpone joy.